You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It started to feel a little bit more like 2018 out there, and the Chicago Bears defense really shouldering the load and helping the Bears offense to the win over the Cincinnati Bengals in what was really Justin Fields' first major action at quarterback. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group, and be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. On the show today, we recap Bears-Bengals, what was a wild, exciting game, one that looked to be well in control and then got a little closer than it should have at the end. We'll start with this Bears defense and the turnovers they generated, three straight interceptions. Then a couple of shaky moments at the end will kind of encapsulate where this defense stands when it was all said and done. Then we'll break down Justin Fields' performance individually. Look at some of the good, some of the rookie mistakes here and there. And at the end, we'll kind of compare to where Andy Dalton is, separate from his injury, just what we saw from Dalton earlier in this game playing well and what the Bears should do with their two quarterbacks moving forward. So often, it's been the two quarterbacks that's the top story every single game, and it's going to be what everyone's talking about after this game too, but this was really, for me, about this Bears defense. Just like last week, a lot of it was about this Bears defense struggling. This week, it was about the Bears defense really kind of finding itself again, at least for the most part. And it was interesting because after the game, the Bears posted a pep talk or like the post-game breakdown of Nagy in the locker room. And he's one of the little lines they snuck in there is Nagy said, I told you this week we had to stop 28 or whatever Joe Mixon's number was. The game plan was shut down the Cincinnati Bengals running game. And even Nagy pointed out in the final stats was like 20 carries for 69 yards, something 65, something around there for Joe Mixon, under 4 yards a carry, mission accomplished for this Bears defense. And in return, I think the idea was then to force Joe Burrow to beat you with his arm, coming off of the knee injury, clearly not as mobile or dynamic as we think he could have been, you know, without that injury last season and still kind of getting back to full strength there. But I think for the most part, the Bengals offense really did struggle until the end to put drives together consistently. You know, they got that field goal in the first half only after Robert Quinn's penalty on third down. It was a third down stop, and Quinn gets the late hit on Joe Burrow, that was kind of a flop. I mean, it's definitely a flop. And then they also had a bunch of, like, the taunting penalties, too, in this game. The flags were just a little bit weird, right? I mean, of course, you know, when there's a false start, or, you know, some of those things you can just see clearly and call it, but Cole Kmet's offensive pass interference, there are just a few of those in that one, in both directions, that just felt a little bit off or unnecessary, for sure. But it did start to feel, especially once you got three straight turnovers on three straight passes, that felt like Vic Fangio 2018 Bears defense. You saw defensive coordinator Sean Desai, again, for the second straight week, get creative with his pass rushers and have some success doing it. On Robert Quinn's sack, he had Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn lined up together over, like, outside of the left tackle. And then they ran a stunt where Mack goes barreling inside, and then, or no, actually, I think Mack was inside, but Mack kind of runs into the two offensive lineman, and Quinn goes around the outside, has a much cleaner path to the quarterback, just an easy sort of one-on-one where the offensive tackle and offensive guard are trying to figure out who they're supposed to block over there. And it's those kind of things that your defensive coordinator can do to set things up better for your pass rush up front. And then once the pass rush gets going, Joe Burrow gets a little bit uncomfortable. He starts staring down some of these throws, trying to get rid of the ball more quickly. Roquan Smith reads it the whole way. Boom, pick six. Then Jalen Johnson reads it the whole way, steps in front of the curl route. Right? It becomes a little bit more predictable, but they also get some more of that energy defensively as well, that it just feels like guys were more fired up, ready to go out there and do some damage and just, you know, find that something, that juice, that mojo, whatever you want to call it, that it felt like they had, what, 3 years ago now in 2018. You know, as the kind of the game went on, maybe you could notice some little cracks here and there throughout in the defense. You know, we saw Duke Shelley struggle here and there to give up some completions there. Bears do not have an answer in the slot. Kendall Vildor down the stretch at the end there started struggling too. He gave up one of the touchdowns that, or I think maybe both of the touchdowns, now that I think about it, not not his best performance and best showing either, right? There's some questions there. I mean, even Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson had a couple of missed tackles. Even though Eddie Jackson did have the forced fumble and Gibson did pick that up, I also didn't like how Eddie Jackson played that touchdown pass where he was the deep safety for Vildor and just overran the receiver and ran into Vildor. Like, you can't be an elite NFL free safety and make those kinds of mistakes. And those mistakes are still there for both Jackson and Gibson, where you just can't have them there from veterans on the back end, especially when you have young, inexperienced cornerbacks also struggling in the game. But even so, even with those cracks, even with a couple of late touchdowns, they still held the Cincinnati Bengals to 17 points. And when you hold an opponent to 17 points, you should win the game far more often than not. That should always be enough, or at least I consider it enough. Defensively, you did your job. 17 is a good sort of threshold number there. You're allowed to give them a couple touchdowns. You would have liked to keep it at 3. They were playing so well, it should have probably stayed at 3. And you don't excuse or ignore the touchdowns that they did give up, but when you get three interceptions on back-to-back-to-back throws, plus a forced fumble in there, 4 turnovers, that's the Bears' defense. I mean, this turnover kind of game, they tend to come in bunches, right? You get one, and then you get aggressive, and then the offense starts stressing, and they start pushing a little bit harder, and they start to make more mistakes that way. That's how it starts to come together. So I think Bears' defense looking for this to be a sign of greater things to come. Maybe the Bengals, a lesser opponent in terms of talent overall on their schedule, a lesser opponent than they had last week at the Rams, and probably a lesser opponent than what we're going to see next week with the Cleveland Browns, excuse me. But that's when they're going to need this Bears offense to step up. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be on Justin Fields' shoulders to do so. We'll break down Fields' performance and then kind of see where the Bears will be left at quarterback from here next on Locked On Bears. Hey, Bears fans, I want to tell you about an incredible app for anyone who ever buys gasoline for your car. It's something I think can apply for most of us, and you really do need to know about it. It's called Get Upside. Listeners of this podcast with Get Upside can get 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. You just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Now, if you use our promo code Touchdown, you can get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. So that's 50 cents a gallon cash back the first time you fill up your gas. I mean, with gas prices going up, imagine getting some of that cash back. You don't have to feel it so much at the pump every time with the app Get Upside. Again, the app is free, and you enter our promo code Touchdown to get as much as 50 cents per gallon back on your first tank. And some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. So just download the free Get Upside app. Again, promo code Touchdown for up to 50 cents per gallon back on your first tank. Certainly had a lot in the tank for Justin Fields as he came in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Wasn't exactly how we were expecting it to play out, but, you know, he was ready, right? We heard from his teammates and his coaches that Justin Fields looked ready, was making wow plays in practice, and seems like whenever he was going to get the opportunity, he was going to be able to do something with it, and we definitely saw flashes. Now, there were rookie moments in there, too. Rookie mistakes, you know, interception, a fumble, a strip sack in the pocket, so a couple of false starts directly on the quarterback. Not something that you typically see anywhere around, but I don't think those really tell the story of the game, even though that seems to be sticking in the minds of a lot of Bears fans. Like, I try not to be surprised anymore, but I still am when I have seen at least one person say, well, clearly Fields didn't look ready. Let's make sure we get Andy Dalton back out there against the Cleveland Browns. And I just don't think anything could be further from the truth. Justin Fields impressed me more than what I thought we would see the first time he really was handed over the reins, especially in a situation like this where it's halfway through the game, or it's the second quarter, and he's got to sort of pick up where Dalton left off on the fly. This was not, you know, preparing all week with the starters against this defense and being able to kind of execute from start to finish. This was just get in there and make it work as you go along. And I think that was so critical to some context for Fields, especially because I think when you look at the interception, and tomorrow's podcast, we'll break down the tape a little bit more in depth there and kind of see exactly what was going on coverage-wise. but some kind of defensive lineman or someone who was pass rushing dropped back late. Started pass rushing and then 1-2 seconds into the play, then dropped back into coverage. And so Justin Fields is reading the defense, sees his receiver open, and is just going to throw it to an open receiver over the middle for what should be an easy completion. And, you know, standing in the pocket, there's a lot of moving bodies and a defensive lineman dropping back there. I would get the impression he didn't see him. And I'm not trying to, like, excuse it as though it's fine or it's good or you want him to do that. But I think when you try and add some context to it, I feel like that's an interception that a lot of veteran quarterbacks make. Maybe Tom Brady doesn't make that. You know, maybe Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes don't make that. But we don't have to put Justin Fields in those categories in the first game of his career. It's a mistake he can learn from and not make again and expect when he sees, to expect to know if somebody's a little bit too open that maybe someone should be there, right? It's still a learning opportunity. It's not just all is forgiven, but it does feel like it's not something to harp on as though, oh man, he just had no idea what was going on or made a terrible throw or, you know, it was the right idea. It just wasn't the right execution when it was all said and done. Same kind of thing with the fumble in the pocket, the strip sack. This one, less excusable, right? That's bad. I mean, he needs to have better ball security, 100%. Put two hands on the ball. I also feel like, you know, he's a playmaker, and he wants to make plays downfield, and he has his eyes downfield, and he's trying to scramble out of the pocket. And it is his blind side, so he's not, you know, in his first game, is he expected to really feel that pass rusher going straight for the ball there when he's just trying to make a play? I mean, yes, he should and needs to improve that and get better at it, but I'm not overly concerned as that being a trend of like, oh, Justin Fields isn't ready to be in the pocket and escape pressure, because we've seen him do it already multiple times and have a lot of success. So I think those mistakes for me were heavily, heavily, heavily outweighed by successful downfield passing, explosive passing plays, scrambling out of the pocket and converting first downs on third down just with his legs. It was, even when he makes mistakes, we saw this against the Rams too, wrong read on the read option. He kept it when he should have given it on like his first read option play, but he spun out of Trey Hendrickson's tackle, and still picked up the first down, despite there being an unblocked defender who played it perfectly to tackle Justin Fields. Like, he's good enough to overcome his own rookie mistakes, and I think that's what stands out so much to me as to why he's ready and why the Bears need to keep rolling with him moving forward. And I think the whole narrative about his performance in this game would completely have changed. Completely 180, no one would be worried about Fields and talking about is he ready if Allen Robinson catches that touchdown pass in the near corner of the end zone. Perfect ball. Dropped it right in the breadbasket. Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback, was in good spot, right? It was not terrible coverage, but it was completely catchable and absolutely should have been brought in by Allen Robinson. If you have that touchdown on Justin Fields' stat line and you have those extra 7 points on the scoreboard, I think we're talking about Fields very, very differently. Plus, you add in the Cole Kmet offensive pass interference play where he caught it for like 15 yards, but it was called back. There was a Darnell Mooney drop on the sideline. There was an out-of-bounds catch where they couldn't get their feet in bounds. There were 3 or 4 or 5 impressive downfield throws from Justin Fields where the throw was perfect or as good as it needs to be, and he didn't get the yards or the touchdown for any of them. And that's where I think we didn't really get to see the full gamut of what Fields' influence on this offense can be, because the receivers and sometimes the offensive line weren't always there to be there to, you know, hold up their end of the bargain. Fields did quite a bit on his own, created a lot, but I really think the whole discussion about this game would be very, very different if those passes are caught and kept. But I really think the bigger picture here is that this is how he gets better. He makes the mistakes in the game. He might throw an interception at practice, but there's something about doing it in that moment and that coverage and that situation for Fields to learn and get better at. Same with the false starts, same with the pocket, you know, fumbling in the pocket. He will learn by being out there. And I think as good as he played in this game, I also think he got better because of how he played in this game. And so it raises the question of what happens next. You know, depending on Dalton's health, is he going to start with healthy, or do they just hand the reins over to Justin Fields? We'll take a look at Andy Dalton's performance and why Justin Fields still needs to be the one out there next on Locked On Bears. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you watch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and it's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites all together like never before, so you can watch your favorite shows, movies, and sports all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. My favorite package to get in the mail is a fresh box of Built Bars from our friends who make the world's best tasting protein bars. They truly are. They taste like candy bars, but they have all the nutrients of protein bars. So covered in 100% real chocolate, every single Built Bar, totally chocolate covered all over. It's soft, it's easy to chew, it's sweet, it's delicious, but it's low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein. They've got a bunch of delicious flavors. I've tried them all. None of them are bad. I've not had a bad Built Bar flavor, but if you try them, I promise you will find one you love. I like to go for the salted caramel because to me it tastes a lot like a Milky Way bar, but it's not loaded up with extra sugar and calories that I don't need. It's so good. I promise you really got to try it for yourself to believe it. Head on over to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 to receive 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. We did see improvement from Andy Dalton from the Rams game to the Bengals game. Playing against his former team, you know, this time at Soldier Field, the home crowd, everything. That opening drive for the Bears felt pretty good, right? Dalton was like, I think 6 of 7 for some odd yards. You know, he was wheeling, he was dealing, scrambling a little bit in there. And then I will say, first and foremost, the touchdown pass he got to Allen Robinson. Maybe we'll get into that in a moment. But I think for Dalton, really strong start. And then, you know, the knee injury happens. And when he came back in the game briefly, very immobile, struggling, and certainly looked like he should not be out there. And I think that's the first and foremost. If Dalton is injured, do not play him, right? I mean, he wasn't as good injured, and you protect the knee just to be safe. Matt Nagy said after the game, pretty sure it's not a torn ACL. We'll see. Maybe by the time you listen to this podcast, we'll have a little bit more details on what it's going to be. But as of Sunday night, the night of the game, we don't know for sure the full extent of the knee injury. So first and foremost, if he's injured, do not play him. You have Justin Fields anyway. Good enough excuse there. But you know, if you look back to that opening drive and that touchdown pass to Robinson, that was the most impressive Andy Dalton throw I think we've seen yet from him with the Chicago Bears. It was kind of a short post, either a long slant or a short post, depending on how you want to define it, but breaking over the middle of the field. The timing was absolutely perfect. It's like the ball is out as Robinson turns the corner. So the cornerback could not react to Robinson early or the pass early. Like, it got there exactly when it needed to be. It was a tight window, perfect timing, and exactly the spot that it needed to be between multiple defenders. I mean, it was an impressive throw. I mean, we were all kind of sitting around going, wow, Andy Dalton, like, that's how you show up against your former team and silence some of the doubters about and the critics of putting Justin Fields in, which absolutely I am one of them. And I was impressed. I really was. But I still feel like, you know, we've seen that before from Andy Dalton. This was not brand new Andy Dalton. This was peak Andy Dalton, for sure. And I think that amount of perfection of timing and just and tight window accuracy, I don't know if Justin Fields is there yet, to be honest. I'm not sure if Justin Fields, just having not practiced with Allen Robinson to the same extent that Dalton has and not played in NFL games as much as Allen Robinson has with Andy Dalton, I'm not sure Justin Fields makes that throw in that same way. And I think he can and will be good enough there, but especially I think once the rest of the offense catches up, because the touchdown drop by Allen Robinson was a beautiful throw that was, you know, veteran quarterback level for sure, that maybe Dalton, you know, that kind of level of throws, absolutely. But I think I was a little bit surprised to see Justin Fields then not get some of the same offensive structure that Andy Dalton did early in that game. First drive, it was a lot of play action. The Bears only ran the ball twice, and I think they had 3, 4, 5 of the play action passes out of the 7 that Andy Dalton had run, and it helped create some space for those guys and sucking the linebackers a little bit and make the cornerbacks have to doubt a little bit and keep the pass rushers from just pinning their ears back and getting after the quarterback. Right? We didn't really see as much of that with Justin Fields. We didn't see the moving pockets with Justin Fields, the designed rollouts. Fields created for himself with his legs and scrambled, but it wasn't some of those things that make things easier on your rookie quarterback. And I wonder if, you know, it's easy to throw Nagy under the bus and say, oh, well, what is he doing? How does he not know to support his quarterback in this way? I mean, I think it can be a little bit too easy to say that without having the full information here. That I wonder if part of that is, you know, they had game planned all week for Andy Dalton in this offense, and Justin Fields kind of goes in and they can't, you know, they sort of already had plans in place for how they wanted the game to go, and it's a little bit hard to totally tweak your game plan on the fly. The halftime adjustments thing is kind of a myth. It's going on around football Twitter a little bit lately, which is, I'm glad to see that there's not really enough time in halftime to truly make like drastic halftime adjustments. More of the adjustments happen on the sideline in between drives, if we're being totally honest. But that's probably a discussion for another podcast. But you know, you also wonder if Justin Fields is a little bit more limited than Dalton in terms of the playbook, where Nagy thinks he can go with certain passes, and maybe they want to keep things a little bit more simple for Fields and just say, you know what, just focus on dropping back to pass. I mean, you can make the argument that they should have made it simple on Fields by saying, no, just roll out. Yes, but they picked a certain part of the offense that for Fields to just kind of stick with a little bit. I mean, it was a lot of shotgun, and for the most part, a lot of that play action, the rollouts do come from under center, so maybe they wanted Fields to be more comfortable in the shotgun offense that he ran at Ohio State. You know, you can start to weave a little bit of an answer to why we didn't see as much of that. Or maybe sometimes Nagy feels a little bit limited by the rollouts or the moving pockets to where, you know, you're cut to half the field there, and it's not as open as a full drop-back pass where you can go through more of a full field progression, and maybe Nagy feels like he wanted to be able to open things up more, that now he's got Fields in the game who's got the arm and the talent to make those downfield throws. There's not as much of that space in the half-field offenses of rolling and moving the pockets and sometimes with play action too. So, you know, being able to spread things out a little bit more with Fields maybe could be some of Nagy's motivation there as well. It's not a perfect explanation. I still would have done more play action and more moving pockets, and they should do more of that moving forward, but I think those are a couple of potential explanations as to why we didn't see more of that, even though we should still have seen more of that. It doesn't fully excuse it, just looking to kind of understand maybe is a better way of coming after it. But I think, you know, in that first drive and first couple drives before Dalton got hurt, we did see he had some good mobility. Good job getting out of the pocket and scrambling in a way that was like, wow, Justin Fields is not the only one that can run. And of course, that leads to his injury, which has extreme irony for Dalton, that he's trying to be the mobile one to show that they don't need the mobile one behind him, and the mobile quarterback or the mobility is part of what gets him hurt. But I will say, the thing that really stood out for me from Dalton, besides that touchdown throw, was the pocket presence, especially compared to Justin Fields, that Dalton had such a good feel for pressure and getting out of there. Not getting out of there too early, but also not getting out of there too late. And that was something, he struggled a little bit on that last week against the Rams. He took a couple of sacks that he really shouldn't have. But I thought, in this game in particular, he just knew how to step up and avoid rush, and then know when to scramble and get out of it, and know when to keep his eyes downfield. There's an area where he was and is currently better than Justin Fields. Again, Fields can get there, and the best way Fields is going to get there is by playing more. I think Fields was a little early to leave the pocket on his first couple of drives. You know, I think he settled in a little bit as the game went on, but then took the strip sack. I mean, he probably should have got out of the pocket sooner, right? So it's a feel thing, right? It's a feel for Fields. He's got to be able to feel it, but the only way you feel that pressure for real is in games, because they can't hit the quarterback at practice. They can't really get that close to him and put that real pressure and that real feeling so he can hang in the pocket, get his two-hand touch, and still throw the ball. He's only going to learn that by being in actual games against actual opponents. He's only going to get better as he develops and grows more and more. I think he's already better than Andy Dalton, as he is right now today, and I think he's only going to then get even better from there. So I think we should stop the charade of playing Dalton and Dalton giving the Bears the best chance to win. Dalton played well, played better than he did against the Rams, and showed us progress, but Fields showed us so much more, and that's why, regardless of Dalton's status, you got to go with Fields moving forward. You can lie and say, oh, Dalton's knee, blame it on the injury, put him on injured reserve for all I care. You know, protect his ego and his image or whatever you got to do to make it happen. But further evidence in this game, Fields is ready. Those rookie mistakes should be expected, will be improved upon, and weren't all that catastrophic in the grand scheme of them signaling anything to be concerned about long term. They seem to be very sort of isolated, one-off mistakes here and there that can and should be improved upon sooner rather than later. So the Justin Fields era is pretty much upon us, or if it's not upon us, we're real darn close to full-time Justin Fields as the Bears quarterback. So we'll be breaking him down each and every day or each and every week. Everything he does in these games, we'll be on top of it right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're free and available on all platforms, so appreciate everyone who keeps tuning in, keeps following along. Like I said, we'll break down some of the tape of some specific Fields plays and maybe some Dalton, some defense as well tomorrow. Go a little bit more in-depth, having a chance to more closely slow it down and review the film. So hope you'll join us for that one again tomorrow. Before you know it, we'll start getting ready for the Cleveland Browns game, put together a little game plan for that, crossover Thursday with our friends from Locked On Browns, all in an effort to help make it just a little bit easier for you to bear down.